trouble, see, I'm home.
Hi, guys. Welcome back to Having a Ball podcast. I am your co-host, Erica.
And I'm Lucy.
And today we are speaking of Ricky Has Labor Pains. It's the 49th episode overall of I Love Lucy, but the 14th of season 2.
So next one will be 50.
Yeah, we're that much closer.
So what? The end of the season? Because not the end of this podcast.
The pregnancy. We're that much closer to the end of the pregnancy. This episode was co-written by Bob Carroll Jr., Madeline Davis, and Jess Oppenheimer, and directed by William Asher. And it was aired January 5th, 1953. The synopsis here is Ricky's feeling sort of left out during Lucy's pregnancy and always focusing on the impending birth of their baby. And she has this baby shower coming up, which does take a lot of your brain power. You know, those types of events do. And he develops same pregnancy symptoms as Lucy. And she gets an idea to kind of make him feel like the center of attention so he doesn't feel left out. And Lucy Ricardo is said to be 6 months pregnant here. So there's that.
She isn't, though.
No.
She's farther along, right? Because she's...
You mean in real life or in the show? Because they're pushing it so quickly. Yeah.
Because she's quite a bit along, you can see.
Yeah. So this is sort of, you know, surrounding that, the impending birth. Because what? Maybe two more episodes until we see episodes?
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah. Anyways... This is a fun episode. I like this episode. Erica, you thought I would have some problems. I do have a few, but maybe not as many as you think I do.
Yeah, because as soon as I watched, you know, maybe because my mind is now, you know, you watch it with a different mindset because I know we're going to be talking about this. So I think, what would Lucy think of this? And, you know, just the whole premise of taking the attention from the pregnant lady to the husband, you know, kind of... feminism and that sort of thing, but maybe I'm wrong. We'll find out.
We'll find out. Yes. So this episode starts with Ricky on the phone. He's chatting up his friend Fred. It's always so funny to me that they call. I mean, I guess we text people when they're in the same room, right? So you can call someone that's just downstairs from you.
Well, are you expecting, like, you know, how Ethel sometimes would knock or Lucy would just come in?
Yeah.
Kick her feet
on the floor.
On the floor. Yeah. No, so they're arranging it.
Yeah. They're arranging a little get together. They just want to watch the ball game, drink some beers.
It's his day off. So he says, I'll have the television getting warm and the beer getting cold. So he's very excited about his day in.
That's a little throwback. Is that correct? Of
the TVs?
When the TVs had to warm up a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I think the last time I saw something like that was my grandmother's television. Of course, it was a big furniture piece, you know, that's in the furniture. And it kind of starts off with like a blank screen. So I can only imagine what the 1950s television was doing. And then you can go make yourself a sandwich while it's starting to warm up.
Starting up? Listen, I get on my couch, I turn on my TV. If it takes longer than like 4 seconds to load, I'm like, what's wrong with it? Hurry up.
We're not in the 50s.
It could take 4 minutes, for this to get warmed up. So anyways, he says, you know, I'll prepare it. And then he does. He starts getting one chair out, which I think is funny. He pulls one chair out.
Because that's where he's going to sit. He assumes maybe Fred will sit on the couch.
Maybe. And the other two guys that he's invited.
Oh, that's right.
Right. And they talk about inviting Murray, which is probably in reference to Murray Thompson, and then Jim, which is possibly in reference to James Paisley, who's the show assistant. Oh, and Murray Thompson was the camera coordinator.
Yeah, they always use those names.
Those names. Yeah, so he pulls out a chair, sets it right in front of the TV, and then goes to tune it up a bit.
Still not done turning on the television.
Because you got to turn it on and then you got to tune it.
I can make the lines wavier.
Make it just as wavy as you can. Yeah. And then Lucy comes in.
Right. And she's cleaning.
Yeah. She's just going about her household chores.
Well, no, I think because she has the baby shower in mind, trying to, you know, clean up, make some space. Yeah.
And she's very pregnant.
Yeah. She's very pregnant.
I looked at that and I was like, okay.
To be very Billy. Mm-hmm.
But she moves the chair back because it's in the middle of the floor. She's like, back what in is its this place. Doing here? Let's put it away. And Ricky, so he goes up twice to the TV. And this is me. But I think after the first time, I wouldn't just assume. Like, I always check where I'm sitting.
Yeah, you always look back.
Or, like, put my hands back.
Where your butt's going to land.
Right. And so.
Yeah, that's odd.
I thought maybe the first time he goes up and then he just assumes it's there, I could maybe see that. But then he goes up again. And we're expected to believe after the second time, he doesn't look where he's going and he just falls down. Attention. But he does play a good falling down. He looks genuinely surprised. Yeah. and Apollo asks why he fell down and hurt his leg. So, it's very cute.
Yeah, so he's upset about that. And she's like, I'm sorry, I didn't know you pulled it out, you know, that you were going to sit there. And he's like, yeah, I'm doing this because the guys are getting ready to come over and watch the game. And she's, oh, no, you can't do that. The girls are ready, getting ready to surprise me. Throw me a surprise shower, which I love. You know, it's a really girl thing to do because there are a lot of things you don't want to be caught off guard. And, you know, you don't want to look your worst and everyone's dressed up and they're like, surprise. And, you know, you always want to have that
just come out of the shower.
Yeah. You always want to have that one friend who will tip you off just so you
maybe clean your house, look nice.
Clean your house, look nice. Maybe not overly done. You don't even sit there in the gown or you know, like, says, like, you know, I'm the expectant mother or something. But, you know, at least you're decent. But or like if you're going to get proposed to, you don't, you know, be caught off guard and wearing like sweats and no makeup or your hair's a mess or something. But
yeah, or, you know, I like the idea of, so Paula's godmother, actually one of my closest friends, set up, her and my mom set up my whole baby shower. Mm-hmm. So it was still like a surprise party because other mm-hmm. than the location and the time, I didn't really know what was going to happen.
Right.
But I still knew this is where I'm going. You know, and I think he had hers very late. So hers was at 6 months. I know technically you're supposed to have it like earlier so you can set everything up. But I think I had mine. And then the week after I had Apollo.
Okay.
No, I and think he later. Did come a week early, right. But like it was very late in the game. But anyways.
And so he's surprised at this. It's his first one of his many, or actually not very many, days off, and he's wanting to do this, and he's upset now that she's got this baby shower going. And, you know, she's knows that he gets upset, so I think she goes out of her way, you'll see this later on throughout the show or this episode, to kind of take the heat off of what's happening and say, but think about it, it's for the baby. It, you know, it's not just don't be upset, this is happening. It's let me give you a reason as to why you shouldn't be upset.
Yeah. And you get to save all the money.
Yeah. And so
we asked for diapers instead of cards.
Smart.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyways, and like a variety, like a different sizes. So we had a bunch from like 1 to 2, whatever.
Anyways, you know, baby showers are quite the blessing. I mean, because
they're so expensive. Mm-hmm. So she's like, listen, you won't have to pay a bunch of money for the things that we're getting. And think
of the loot.
The loot.
She says, yes. she says, are you jealous of the baby? Ricky Ricardo, you're jealous of the baby. And, you know, I think that's a common thing that is thrown around because of how men can behave, I suppose, with the idea, especially if you've never had a baby and your full focus, I mean, in the relationship has been each other. So your focus is her, you know, her focus is you. And so suddenly that's on the back burner. And for someone who's maybe self-centered, as Ricky is shown to be, it can be a little odd to make that change. So you can see why he's not, as opposed to helping her clean up and yes, let's get you all ready. He's taken it very offensive throughout this
very
entire episode.
Personal. And I also think, and I say this because Colin wasn't like this, but in the sense of being like selfish or jealous. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I think it hit me a lot sooner that we were having a baby than it did for him because it's mm-hmm. not really real, right? Mm-hmm. To them so much when mm-hmm. the baby's in your stomach.
Yeah.
Definitely before they can feel it, you know, there's just this all of a sudden I think I was going, oh, wow, we're pregnant. This is our baby. And he was like, yeah, you're pregnant. And then all of a sudden, you know, 6 or 7 months, he's like, oh, my goodness, you're pregnant.
It's so interesting. I mean, listen, we're going off on a tangent, but that's what we do here. Mm-hmm. I see these TikTok videos, and some of them go viral for great reasons, but some of them go viral for horrible reasons because they do gender reveals, right? And then you see the reaction of the men. That's really what you're focused on, because the girl's happy anyway, for the most part. You know, you're happy whatever you're getting, for the most part. And then you see the men's reaction as to, you know, are you getting a little girl or a princess? Or are you getting your boy that you want? You know, just like the episode we spoke of earlier before this. And then you see some that are so disappointed, and they don't hide their disappointment.
Oh yeah. Some just and walk off, you know,
so like cringe, you know, and yeah. It's, which is why when you see ones that are very excited, it's so
nice
to see, because yeah. It's like, whew, finally somebody who's excited about the gender. But anyway, so he
does get over himself a little bit in this mm-hmm. moment. He's like, okay, yeah. I'll figure it out. I'll go down to Fred's or something here. Let's get you. How about you sit down and relax? And I'll, yeah. Oh wait, he leaves, doesn't he? And that's when she's like pruning the dead plant.
Yeah. He goes into the next room and she drops it and she can't pick it up because, I mean, if anyone has been that pregnant, you know, what carrying that in front of you is like, and just
you can't bend over,
you can't do
anything. You have to squat.
Which is why it's baffling later on when we get to the list of things, why certain things are expected of her when she's in such a delicate state. But anyway, so she can't.
Oh my goodness, we missed the one line that like that this one did, where he goes, you know, will Lucy mind, or, you know, will it upset Lucy?
That.
There's nothing wrong with Lucy. She's just having a baby.
That's one of the things that I wrote down to reference you. Yes, because it's one of those things where you need to be more considerate of what's happening.
Just having a baby.
On the show, supposedly, I mean, Lucille Ball, this is her second baby in real life, but in the show, it's supposed to be their first. So this is brand new waters for everybody. And so, yeah, you're right. I did write that down. She won't get upset. She's having a baby. There's nothing wrong with her. That's not the point.
So he does come back in. He sees her struggling, asks what happened. And after she explains, he said, okay, how about I take this out and you rest? You sit in this chair.
Yeah.
And she goes, I can't sit in that chair.
She'll never get out of it because she's so comfortable. And when you're that heavy,
she sinks so low too.
You sink. And it's all belly, so you can't really stand up, which is hilarious. Because then, of course, the phone rings at that point. Of course it does.
Because he leaves. He's like, well, I'm here. I'll just help you. And then he goes and takes out the trash and the cans and whatever else she asks him to take out. And that's when the phone rings and he's not there. So she has to use like the coffee table to climb her way up, which is pretty intuitive.
And of course, like we love to see on these episodes, there's little Easter eggs that are thrown in. She's reading the McCall's magazine that has the I Love Lucy right on the cover as a baby and as I Love Lucy, which is an article that was written by Desi, speaking of Lucille Ball and all of that. But they do that a lot because there's later on, I mean, we could do a whole episode of magazines that are used that reference Lucy's themselves. I love that.
You know, there's a side-to-side picture, and it does look like they changed the front of it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe editing did, and they just put, like, I Love Lucy, but it still has I Love Lucy in bold letters on the front. Right. And so, yeah, by the time he gets back, she's standing up, and she's like, well, I had to get up to get the phone. Oh, and they're selling magazines, which I had to say, do you know where they sell magazines anymore? They definitely don't call, do they?
Oh, you mean like they did
magazine
subscriptions. Oh, I see what you're saying. No, but I used to get that a lot. That used to be such a big thing, not even that long ago. But I think paper magazines, physical, tangible magazines are such probably dying out. You know, you don't see as many, except like you go to the airport and things like
that. My parents still get the Smithsonian and National Geographic.
I think that one will never die down. No, I haven't gotten one for a long time, but they used to come in the mail frequently.
Did they? The only place that I know that still sells them is like bookstores. Like I'll go to like Books A Million,
totally,
or Barnes and Nobles, and they'll have them up front as like some thing. But my sister was actually a magazine sales person for a while. Like going door to door. Anyways, they're talking and all of a sudden the doorbell rings. And she goes, oh, that's them. And it's She pushes him through the door and says, you know, go down the back way because he's not allowed to be there. So I thought, well, maybe if you get pushed out of a room, you might start feeling a little hurt.
Prior to that, though, we sort of introduce the things that she has forgotten, which is lunch. And he says, you know, what am I supposed to do for lunch? And
make a sandwich. You know,
and she's, oh, honey, I have no time to fix lunch. I've been so overwhelmed with this. I forgot all about you. And he says, that's been happening a lot lately. Now, here's the thing. A couple of things. Certainly, he could have worded it differently. What am I supposed to do for lunch? You could have said, do you have something? And she says, no, oh, don't worry about it. I'll grab something. Because what if she did make something and he wants to be considerate and eat what she made? But not, what am I supposed to do? Like, you're disabled or something and you can't walk and you can't go to somewhere else. And then she could have worded it a little different as opposed to, I forgot all about you. He's already in his feelings about it. And he's like, yeah, it's been happening a lot lately. And so that's when the girls come in to do the shower, and to add insult to injury, she pushes him.
Yeah, exactly. She just pushes him through the door.
That's where we kind of get a little inkling of what's happening. She didn't do lunch like she used to. Well, she doesn't every day have a baby shower. So of course your schedule's going to be a little odd. It's not like, oh, the daily baby shower. No, it's just
the daily baby shower. Just one of 50.
They come in, they give her a bunch of things. The next scene is the loot that was given. And very excited. But I love that she goes, this is for me. You guys did this for me. And she was fully aware of this baby shower.
Yes. I'm so sorry. I'm not going to repeat what you just said.
What did I say? You can remove it. What did I say?
No, I said, I'm not going to repeat what you just said. Because I was reading my notes and I got confused at where we were.
And then I'll say, I said that already.
So did you know that the women now come in and surprise her?
She doesn't know. Really?
Did you say though, I love how she's knitting. She feels the need to pick up something to do.
Yeah. Well, you have to be doing something natural. You can't just be sitting there waiting.
Yes, come in.
And the house is clean and she's just dressed up and it's sweet.
We don't see much or any of the baby shower, really.
No,
they come in, they show that they have presents, and then afterwards we see all the loot, right?
Yeah, the loot.
It's mainly toys.
It's mainly toys. And
but that's okay, because toys are expensive.
Yes, they are. And so then they move over to the next scene, which is the shower being over, and her being very excited with Ethel. Look at this. And look
at they're looking at little booties.
And there's a doll, I think, that she's carrying, and it's that same one you referenced back when she was drowning the doll. Practicing. And it's that $10 doll, that Lucy doll. She kind of has that one there too. And you know, they're gushing over the thing, and Ricky comes in. Now, could he be any less enthused after she goes, look at all this stuff we got?
I know. Like,
that's okay. Great. Is dinner ready?
what am I having for dinner? Now, he knew that she was having a baby shower. She didn't prepare his lunch. He came up, they're still having the baby shower.
Did you think that cleaning up during,
what was she gonna do? She was gonna during the shower
to go put a roast beef.
Women would go into the kitchen and cook him a meal. I mean,
this is the part where I thought he'd get a little worked up.
I was a little worked up because I was like, what did you expect? What do you think she's gonna be doing? She's gonna stop her baby shower and say, my husband needs to eat. There isn't a diner that he can go to. Not something he can make.
Or Fred's house. Fred's or apartment.
Something. And we're not supposed to believe that he wasn't drinking beer and eating snacks all day.
Love this. Watching love this. So he's upset about dinner not being, I forgot about that too. You know, and it's supposed to be like a roast beef or something. And he's like, don't worry, I'll make something for you. And then he gets distracted by a gift, right? And she's like, oh, look at this. And
he's like, my dinner.
The way people do this, I mean, I've seen, we all revert to being immature sometimes, but he goes, Ricky, are you hungry? Why, I'm hungry. Would you like a roast beef? Why, that sounds good. I'll make it right away. Why, thank you.
Some potatoes on the side.
Potatoes, yeah. Oh my gosh. And okay, so then while that's happening, Fred runs in with the paper, right?
Yes.
Because Ricky, quote unquote, gets mentioned in Winchell's column, right?
And this is, yes, this is similar to what we actually discussed when we were reviewing the being the Ricardos, correct?
Yes.
Because it was leaked. It was leaked on air after, like, from her lab. So the lab leaked it to Walter Winchell, the media, right, before they called her. And then very sad thing about this one is that this is one of the ones that she miscarried, one of the children she miscarried. So not only did she not get to find out right away that she was pregnant, that's like a private thing.
So this is from Love, Lucy. This is her autobiography. And like you mentioned, Fred's speaking about Winchell's column, which is like a gossip column sort of thing where they talk about celebrities and all their personal. It's the TMZ of the 50s. And so Lucy actually used a fake name when she went to the doctor because she was already a star then. But her privacy wasn't protected. A spy, quote unquote, leaked her pregnancy result. Imagine that. And the public was made aware of the news. Ball said she found out she's pregnant the same time everybody else did. Now, this is from her book. Desi was fast asleep and I was knitting, which is like the episode, listening to the radio. Walter Winchell came on the air and announced after 10 childless years of marriage, Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz are infanticipating. I dropped my knitting, ran into Desi's dressing room and woke him up. We're going to have a baby. And like you mentioned, unfortunately, she did miscarry 3 months after the pregnancy announcement. They kept me in the hospital for a week, doped with sedatives, Lucy wrote in her book. I cried and cried, but the doctors assured me that I still had a chance to become a mother. Like, he really needed to do this to the Arnezes. In this,
and then, I'm so sorry, but you've got to think, if you have to say after 10 long years,
childless years of marriage,
childless, don't you think they've been trying? It's, I know, we did talk about, you're right. First of all, none of your business, none of anyone else's business, unless she makes it public. Second of all, you're thinking this is a huge thing for them. And you just broke the news.
They struggled with infertility. I mean, they were hardly together. She was up there in age for pregnancy because she was like 41. So it's a lot of things happening. You don't need Walter Winchell to announce it to the world before. You know it. But here, it's a little more peppy, where the headline was Carrot Topped Lucy Ricardo, formerly Lucy McGillicuddy, and currently one of show business most beautiful wives, is infanticipating. And he says, that's a great story about me.
I think what was, he's like, well, you didn't read all, Fred said, you know, you didn't read the whole thing. And it goes right underneath, it says, and her husband is a band leader.
Which is, listen, this entire premise of I Love Lucy is that Ricky's the star and Lucy's trying to get in on it, right? I mean, if you're going to put it in a nutshell, she has one moment of being acknowledged in such a big way, and he's being small, and he's the band leader. Let her have her moment.
And of course, on top of all of that, Lucy reads the article, you know, she reads this part about herself and smiles, but then she says, wait, we need to save this, and not because of her, but because it's the first time the baby's mentioned,
right?
You know, so her thoughts aren't her on scrapbook. Oh, yay me,
no,
I did amazing. She's like, you know, the baby was mentioned, and then they start talking about a scrapbook, and again Ricky's like, okay, my dinner. And so she goes, okay, how about some roast beef?
Yeah, roast beef.
I'll go get it. And so she goes to get it, and
the merchants leave.
The merchants leave, and that's when we find out
she
forgot to cook it.
But she didn't.
What is this rare enough for you when it's uncooked?
And she says, I got very distracted. I had a lot of things to do. The shower kind of threw me off schedule. Give her a break. I mean, it's enough. It's hard enough to walk, especially how big she was. Remember, we mentioned this a couple episodes. Desi would say she gets as big as a house when she's pregnant. And that's true. She was very heavy. Leave the woman alone. I don't know.
She said, you know, she had a big list of things to do today and she accomplished one. But he's very rude about that, too. Yeah. You know, because he reads the first one, get roast beef, and he goes, Congratulations. And then what the next few things are, pick up
Ricky's laundry.
Ricky's laundry.
And then
Tuxes, which does the ee thing. And then there was one other one.
Oh, the Tux at the cleaners.
Okay. I thought there were three things, but.
Yeah, it's pick up the roast beef, pick up Ricky's laundry, and then pick up, which I thought was the same place, but I guess not.
Apparently not.
Tux at the cleaners. Now, I wrote down that pregnant with 3 exclamation points after the words, pick up Ricky's laundry. You want her to go downtown New York or wherever it is that.
Get on a train, probably.
Probably subway, taxi cab, something. Unless the cleaners, the laundry is on the bottom floor of their building, which I doubt.
Well, she said it's only a block or two away to get to the.
That's a lot for that poor woman. I don't know. Especially, yeah, it's right on his way.
I don't know. I mean, she was maybe big, but I was working up until the week before I had Apollo.
Yeah.
So it's possible. And I feel like the more you move, it's not always.
It's good exercise. Unless you're on bed rest or something.
Right. Of course. But he goes, okay, well, I better get going because I seem to have a lot to do.
You don't mind if I borrow this list, do you?
Ugh. He says before he leaves, he's like, I will get, what does he say?
Don't worry about me. I'll get by. I'll get something to eat. Somehow, somewhere.
And that's where Colin went. Were there not diners back then? And I said, well.
So much. She gets very concerned the next scene because he's not feeling well. He's got certain symptoms which are very familiar to her because she has the exact same ones. Pains in the stomach. Is it nausea or something?
Nausea. He got sick in the morning. He's got dizziness and pains in his stomach. And you can see right away that she gets very concerned about him. She's the one who brings in the doctor, and that's what he wants, right? Whether consciously or subconsciously, he does push back a lot when the doctor, we'll talk about this, when the doctor tells him what he thinks is going on. And so maybe it is subconscious, but it's still true. So Lucy brings in the doctor
Dr. Rabwin.
Whose real name is Lou Merrill. Rabwin was the name of Lucy's real life friend, who was also a physician. So again, names of people they know. And Dr. Rabwin listens to all the symptoms.
And then Lucy immediately blames herself.
She says, I should have made you dinner last night. And Ricky goes, or agrees with her or something as the thermometer's in his mouth. And
now, is this under the umbrella of, I know it's not the exact word, gaslighting, but this under the umbrella of that, just to make you feel guilty for my unhappiness for a day? I mean, I'm sure a therapist can go deeper into what's happening here, really, but it just seems like I want you to feel guilty for enjoying yourself and not doing the things for me that you're supposed to, or that I feel you're supposed to. So I hope that at some point you feel an inconvenience or something like that. You know what I mean?
Definitely see that. I could definitely see that. And again, whether it's subconscious.
Yeah.
Or conscious, I think that's what it gets down to, is that he is feeling left out. He's feeling neglected. He's not the star anymore, right? He's the star of his own show down on the Tropicana. And so now he's not. Usually, Lucy's the one that they make fun of in their friend group, and now that's who they're paying attention to the most. And so.
And this is not going to last once she has the baby.
Once she has the baby. The doctor thinks, I know what's going on, and he asks to talk to Ricky alone. And that's when he explains that he thinks that this is all kind of in his head, it's psychosomatic, and that maybe he's just feeling a bit neglected.
And he's not having that. He says, no way, it's something I ate. Just didn't land right. And this is what I pay for a house call for you to tell me that. Oh, wait, are you saying that I'm having a baby? Being sarcastic. And he's like, no, you definitely are not. But you're having the same symptoms as your wife. So some people call it sympathy pains, right? I mean, now that is different than, I assume, than trying to guilt your partner. So
yeah, I was going to say sympathy pains is in the name. They're sympathetic for you.
Right.
He's not being sympathetic to
her. Gaining weight right along with you. Yeah, exactly. Sympathetic as opposed to making you feel guilty for. That's what this feels like.
Right. And so finally the doctor is like, oh, you know what? I think I missed something. Checks his eyes and said, you have tomine, tomine or something. Mm-hmm. And then he goes out to talk to Lucy and she's says genuinely the same concerned. Thing. She is. Says her the same Ethel. Thing to her that he does to Ricky. And Lucy points out all the same things that Ricky did, you know, that got to make him dinner, forgot to pick up his clothes and tux and stuff, and that he was acting weird after that. So the doctor said, you know, it's not uncommon. Just make sure that you do something that focuses on him a little bit.
Yeah. And what I love is this is a sign of the times, of course, just like we talk about cigarette commercials and things like that and how it's pushed and encouraged. You have a full on doctor smoking just in this smoking pregnant in the- woman's face. I mean,
right.
And it's just like, it's so bizarre to see. So he leaves and they're trying to think of something. What could we possibly do for him that will make him feel better? God, this is a grown man.
And I think Ethel says, ingest.
Ingest, yeah.
Throw him a baby party.
Right. And she's like, that's silly, but wait a minute. What about a daddy shower? Now, my question, I should have looked this up. Prior to I Love Lucy, this exact moment in time, had daddy showers never been a thing, and have they not been a thing since? Because it's a great idea, I think.
I don't know. I think that there have been...
I mean, I know there's co-baby showers, but I don't mean that. I mean, specifically, the guys
Colin wasn't
getting,
allowed.
Getting
Maybe if
together.
We have a second one.
There you go.
Like, he can have a stag party. Again, he wasn't really all that selfish or feeling left out, but that still could be a good thing.
Oh,
you know,
I think it's great because both parents will be hopefully involved in the caretaking. So what's better than receiving, you know, help in form of gifts and diapers and all of that from both sides of your friends? But
except
anyway.
We get to see, oh, you know what? No, I'm sorry. The bachelor, he was at the baby shower. We were kind of co-baby showered there.
Mm-hmm. Co-baby showers. Yeah.
But we'll talk about the gifts that Ricky gets at his party, because that wasn't
that's
really
not the idea
out.
That we had in mind.
Yeah,
no,
but,
so,
but
yeah,
Fred goes in and throws out this idea, and he comes back out. He's like, Ricky's almost better already, well already, because he's so excited about this party.
And then, of course, they both kiss him, which is one of the rare times you see Ethel kiss her own husband on here, and him looking excited about it.
Excited about it. Yeah. So Ethel, that is when Ethel says, you know, called it a stag party because they don't want to call it a daddy shower. And Lucy goes, wait a second, what's this? What's a stag party?
Right.
And Ethel goes, don't you want him to have this? Don't you want him to get better? And I love the line where she goes, of course I want him to get better. I just want to know what kind of medicine he's taking.
And so I'm looking up the word stag, and I know it's not the first one, which is a male deer. And the second one, it's a social gathering attended by men only, a stag event without a partner at a social gathering. A lot of boys went stag. So when using stag and the women, their mind go somewhere, it's probably because they have other forms of entertainment at parties and events and things like that. So, you know, it's a little uncomfortable. So she's wondering, what kind of idea do you have in mind here for the stag of it all? And then Ethel starts to question it, like, wait, I am right, aren't I? I mean, so they're both concerned. I don't know, but we're going to find out. And so they have this idea to go as uninvited stags. And he's like, Ethel says, what are you going to go as an expected father? Now, that just reminds me, this is like the second or third time she dresses up as a man pregnant, or at least dresses up again in disguise as a while pregnant. So no, fast forward, they go as reporters. We'll get into that. So cut to the next scene, which is them at this stag party.
So this was interesting to me. It was an interesting choice. So they zoomed in on the East 68th Street Athletic and Recreation Society. That was fine because that's where
they live.
You live, and well, not where they live, where they're doing the.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, I mean East 68th Street. Yeah.
Oh, is where they live.
That's the famous.
But then, what's the Athletic and Recreation Society?
Maybe it's down the street.
Maybe.
Apartment.
Okay.
There's more than just their building.
There's just one building on the whole street. Okay.
Listen. It's okay. It's a long day.
It's been a long day, yes. So what I found was interesting was that they were so close up on that boar's head, and then for a while, like a few seconds, and then zoom out, and I went
really quickly.
Why did they do that?
Yeah, that was really weird. Now we do see that later in the Hollywood episodes when she tries to
sneak in.
Yeah, it's not Cornel Wilde. What is this? Oh my goodness, my husband's having lunch with.
Richard Widmark.
Yes, Richard Widmark. Thank you. So it's his house.
Season 4, episode 3. And then so in a few years, we'll get to that.
We'll get there in 2025. Hollywood years. And so, yeah, so they're at this event center. All the boys are there dressed up, and he's happy that the depression has left him. He's in touch.
Oh, he's so happy. Yeah, everyone's there for him. You know, they have poker. And every guy comes in, and Fred goes, "Okay, this is a shower, so put your
all your gifts
on the table." And every single one of them is beer.
And yeah, because when they all back out of the scene of the table, it's all beer wrapped up, and which is hilarious because it just shows you that men don't care the occasion; it's they going to be drink. Alcohol. Yeah. So and he's all like. Shy and embarrassed, like, oh yeah, you shouldn't have.
And then he goes, "Let's all drink." And so they all drink their own beer, basically.
Yeah, they're like, "Let's open up the gifts."
Alcohol party.
So good.
Forget to mention, I think that right before this, so it was still at the hall, but right before this, Ricky gets off the phone, and that's when he says two reporters are coming down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's excited that the stag party has taken off and getting traction. Little did he know it's just this Lucy Nethel. Yeah. So they come in full on men's attire, and Lucy with her famous, you know, I love when she does that male voice. It's the same one she always does, that raspy male voice. She's got a mustache. And a hat.
Scotch taped on, apparently.
that's how she's found out. And they disguise themselves as newspaper reporters to see what's going on. Lucy is Pete, Ethel is Sam. And what I love is that when they ask them where they're from, they didn't rehearse this before going in there to see what paper they're from. And so it's the New York Herald Times Tribune, which is like a mix up of the two New York newspapers.
Yes. Because first Ethel says the New York Times and Lucy says the Herald Tribune. And so that's when they look at each other and they mash it all together. And so almost right away, Ricky can tell that
it's her.
That's Lucy and Ethel. And so he goes over, he's like, "Can you give me a second?" And he goes over and he's whispering to Fred and one of his other friends. And you can tell that they're up to no good. I do love, though, in Lucy's only a way that Lucy can, as she's going over, it just fits her character so much that she's standing there and goes, "You know, why are you saving the king for, fella?"
I think that was kind of out of the syndicated one, because I only see it at certain parts of that in the DVD. Yeah, but yeah, she's totally spoiling the game for them. And so when Fred comes over, they're going to start this interview about the stag party, and they're introducing everybody, which I love. Ethel's like, "Oh, you're Fred's Murtaugh. Nice to meet you. I'm Sam." And see, asking whose idea this was, and Fred says, "It was my idea. I said to my old battle axe."
Yes. You see Ethel's face.
Oh my gosh.
And you know, he definitely does this because he knows
Ricky just told
really
them.
Trying to lay it on. He said, "You know, why should the mothers all get the breaks? Let's do something for the dad." And they go, "Oh, really?"
Yeah.
And then the other friend breaks in with a scandalous joke, I believe is what joke that he's going to tell.
Now, of course, because it's something that you would clutch your pearls at if you're a woman listening to such an inappropriate joke. Now, what's funny is that you never hear the joke. And I did try to Google to see if there was some ending to it, but I think that's the point, to kind of leave you in suspense. And so it's a nightclub in Paris, and he's talking about a female dancer. And so I'm assuming it's like a stripper or something. And so they're getting uncomfortable listening to this because it's only male conversation to have. And because she's so uncomfortable with what they're about to say, she ends up flashing, I mean, the camera flashing herself in the eye. you know, can't see. All heck breaks loose. She blinds herself for a hot minute.
And so they decide, since Lucy can't see, and it doesn't seem like a whole lot's going on, that they'll just leave.
Mm-hmm.
And so Ethel helps Lucy. And as they're saying goodbye, Vicky, he's like, goodbye, Sam. Goodbye, Pete. Goodbye, Lucy. Bye, Ethel.
Ricky, they Ricardo. And she's looking the other direction because she's still blind.
And he goes, I'm right over here.
And so she just wants to see what happens at a stag party. Are you mad? No, not mad. But anyway, everyone's happy and giggling. And then it cuts to the next scene where they're back in bed. And she is eating, of course, just like the previous episode to this. She had these weird combination cravings with the papaya milkshake and the pickles. And here we have sardines and ice cream.
Yes, I have something about that in the Lucy book.
Oh, please tell us. Now,
something from the book.
Mm-hmm. Now, who's that by again? I always forget.
Let's see. Jeffrey Mark Fieldman.
Okay. It's called the Lucy book.
The Lucy book. Yep. It says authorized by Desilu 2. Mm-hmm. It goes through every single episode of I Love Lucy and just has little bits of it. Let's see. It says, as with several of the pregnancy episodes, this show is enjoyable, not so much because it's funny, but because of it has overall warmth and humanity. Lucy and Desi are so obviously happy with what's going on in their private lives that it spills over to their performances. The final scene, the second of the craving themes, has Lucy eating a hot fudge sundae with sardines. Mashed potatoes and gravy are substituted as lookalikes for the ice cream and the hot fudge, but sardines are actually used, which Lucy loathes. As soon as the director, Bill Asriel, is cut, she runs off stage and throws up. The episode is based off of part of my favorite husband's radio installment, The Christmas Stag.
Oh, I can't imagine. Even for art, would I take sardines if you can't stand them?
I have never tried sardines.
Oh, I will run from sardines. I'm not a big fan of, well, I don't eat fish anyway. So I just.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But just the idea of sardines and mixed with ice cream is hilarious. But
what I think is that, I mean, how dedicated to your craft. So you're right. I mean, so the mashed potatoes, the gravy, I could see being acceptable, maybe not enjoyable depending on how long it was sitting around, but acceptable, doable.
Yeah, tasty.
But then they say you've got to have something that normally you loathe.
Yeah.
And now you're pregnant. There were things that I loved that I couldn't stomach so much when I was pregnant. You know, and I was sick all the time. So I can't imagine if I was like doing a job or something and they said, you have to have this.
Oh, I don't think anybody ever says you have to Lucy. I'm sure
they wrote
said,
the joke.
Yeah.
And probably in her mind, they didn't say you have to, but in her mind, she went, it'll be a good joke. Let's do it. Even though.
Yeah.
I hate it.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is how good of an actress she is. She looks like she's enjoying it because that's the point. And meanwhile, cut, and she runs off and vomits, you know, and it's kind of like, you're pregnant, these feelings are real, you're like, why would you torture yourself? But nonetheless, it's like you said, she's
eating this, and we're not actually done yet, because talking about the cravings, and she goes, I'm surprised you didn't have cravings when you were
I don't know why she
say
kept
feeling
talking
bad
here.
About yourself or something. Yeah, she just kept digging herself a hole.
Yeah, I don't know why she
kept... really, because he goes, wait, what do you mean when you weren't feeling well? And
he said, you started feeling, you know, it's funny that you felt better. It's almost like she's ribbing him, you know, like she's like throwing it back at him, where he says, it's funny that you felt better after we did the shower for you. And you felt like the center of attention. It's like, wow.
Well, yeah, because he goes, wait, did the doctor tell you to throw the party for me? Right. And she went, no, but he did say to make you the center of attention. And
then suddenly depression, right? Yeah. Depression now comes over him again.
Yeah,
after
he
she
starts
says
not
this.
Feeling well again, and he sits like, down
wrong?
on the
I don't
bed.
Feel good.
She goes again, and so then he goes, you know what? And after a few seconds, you kind of see him looking at what she's eating, and then he goes, I've gotta have some. He asks if he can have some, and she goes, are you crazy? And he goes, no. And so not only now is he all up in her space, which is fine, they're husband and wife, but he's stealing food from a pregnant woman.
We just fixed this.
Not good food, but.
Yes, it's her craving, though. We just fixed this with the darn stag party, and now you're back to depression and taking my personal space.
And he just starts shoveling it. And I did say I wondered if he likes sardines, because it didn't say anything about that. But
yeah,
with how he was eating, he didn't seem to mind.
Oh, my gosh. And that is the end of that, because it closes off with her struggling to
get a bite in.
Yes. So we are, like you said, I think two or three away from her having the baby, which is one of my favorites. And yeah, that's midway or towards the end of season two. So we're very excited about that.
We're next close, but are we doing the movie next week?
Yeah, next week.
Next week we're doing a movie.
The Big Street is what we're doing. Mm-hmm. Hans Conried, who we just spoke of, Percy Livermore in the previous episode, is in this movie. I think he's uncredited, but he's in this movie as well.
Oh, yes, so, we did mention that.
Mm-hmm, looking forward to that. So, unless you have anything else to add.
No.
Okay. Find us everywhere on or email us at havingaballpod@gmail.com. We haven't received emails in a minute, so please let us know what you guys think.
All we're getting is spam.
A lot of spam. And on Instagram, Having a Ball Pod, Facebook, Having a Ball Podcast. Please rate and review us, just so we know how people are enjoying it or not enjoying it. I don't know. But let us know what more you want to hear. More movie reviews, more guests. I don't know. Things like that. But,
actually doing what I said. That's my goal for this year, is actually doing a few of my own that I keep promising I'm going to do.
Yes, I think you were going to do...
I was thinking I'm going to start with the Lucy show.
Yeah, you're much more...
Because that's a Desi Lu's production.
Acquainted with that, yeah.
Yeah, that'd I actually fun. Am not. No. Oh, the Desi Lucy Comedy Hour.
Oh, that's
what I'm going to do first.
And
I'm not acquainted with that. I think maybe I've watched them once through. So
okay, those are fun. I love going back to seeing those, because you don't watch them as often as you do these. But yeah, and of course, like you said, an hour long. So yay, looking forward to that.
Woo. All right.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, guys.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.